One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila and Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, speaker, and TV radio personality who helps people find love in relationships and also find love within your self-esteem. So here at Love University, we learn how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature. In the summer, we've been very fortunate to have a great speaking series with guest speakers that come every week to tell us a little bit about what they do in relationships and psychology and self-help. And today, we're very pleased to have a very nice guest named Lisa Copeland. Lisa is a dating coach for women over 50 years of age. She has been a personality on many different programs. She writes for Zoosk, dating site, AOL, Yahoo. She's been featured on ABC, Huffington Post. She's written the book called The Winning Dating Formula for those over 50, and she has a bachelor's degree in social work. Welcome, Lisa Copeland, to the show.
Thank you for having me here. It's so nice to be here with you.
Yeah, very, very excited to have you on the show. So, Lisa, you're very selective in the people you work with, and since you work with 50 plus, women who have basically looking for dating, but not coming out of a long marriage or anything like that, where they have wounds. Why are you so selective? Why not deal with younger women, older men, that kind of stuff?
Well, I decided to deal with women over 50 because I know what it felt like to date in my 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Okay.
We do come out with way more baggage than when we started dating in our 20s and 30s.
Yes.
And what ended up happening was when my second marriage ended, I was looking for a dating coach who could help me as a 50-year-old woman. Mm. And all the dating coaches were young, and many were men. And they didn't understand what it feels like to come out into the dating world with your body not the way it was when it was 30, and how to feel confident about that, how to feel confident having an intimate relationship, how to date. It turns out dating is so different at this age than it was in our 20s and 30s. And yes. That is why I chose to do women over 50, because I know what that felt like. I had to figure it out on my own.
Okay.
And I didn't want women to do that.
So tell me, if you can say, what are three mental attitudes or perspectives that women over 50 have in dating and relationships that are a little bit different than other age ranges or other people?
Well, the biggest mindset is will somebody love me at this age? That is a huge one. The second one is they themselves do not feel that lovable at this age. And so it actually starts there, and then it turns into, will someone love me at this age? And the other mindset is, can I really find love again? Can I find the right person again? Those are probably the top three. And where do I find them?
Interesting. Now, I've had a guest on the show who actually talked about older women and younger men. And, we have terms like that, the so-called cougar and all that. But she said she's very happy having sexual experiences with younger men. Now, is that what you're into, or are you talking about same age, or what is your philosophy on that for older women?
I think women over 50 have a lot of choices. The first choices that they have are how they want a man to fit in their life. When you're younger, you don't have that choice. You are looking for a partner to have a baby with, and that is the biggest difference between dating younger and dating older. But the problem is as we get older, that was the only way we knew how to date. So we come into the dating world with that same philosophy. I'm looking for that hot, cute guy. And that's why everyone looks so old online, because we're still looking for that hot, cute guy, or for men, that hot, cute woman. So women have lots of choices now. They can have men as friends, as lovers, or they can have a boyfriend, they can have a husband. They're not so boxed in.
But what do you think works best, Lisa? Is it a younger man or older man for a woman over 40? I mean, over 50?
Over 50? I think it can go either way. I've had clients who love dating younger men. I had clients that love dating men the same age, and clients that liked older men. It's really personal to the woman and how she feels about it.
Interesting. Now, you also talk about the necessary mental shifts to get the man that you desire for a 50-plus female. And you talk about, first of all, I think you said, honor yourself or find your voice or uniqueness. What does that mean?
Well, we as women have a tendency to compare ourselves to other women versus seeing what is unique about us. And as you know, since you're male, every male and every woman too, we all like different types of people, and we're not going to love everybody, and not everybody's going to love us. So the greatest thing that you can do is to have this unique, to really get in touch with who you are and what makes you tick. That means what you love doing. you know, get that inner passion going again, because that's so attractive to men.
I see.
Figure out what it is that you love about yourself again, because we've lost that oftentimes from being in a marriage a long time.
Can you give me an example of one of your clients? I mean, did she learn how to surf or bowl or something, or parachuting? What was a story that, you know, you can tell us about? A client that, you know, found her uniqueness and then found a soulmate.
Well, it's not her uniqueness that necessarily went to the soulmate, totally, but it's her uniqueness that makes her attractive. And it's really getting back in touch with what you love about you. Like I was saying, we lose that. And we often, when we're in a marriage, we've often acquiesced to the man and what it is he loved to do.
Okay. And so, so give me an example of that. Let's say one of your clients, what did she learn about herself that was unique?
We would get in touch with the things she loves doing. And many times women have not done them in years. And I help them to get back in touch with us. If it's painting, taking a class, going out and, you know, parasailing or parachuting, it doesn't have to be huge. It just can be, some women are super active, some women are not. So it's just, you know, if you're an artist and you always wanted to come back to that, if you always wanted to write, if you just wanted to go out and play, you know, whatever it is that makes you light up, that's what makes you unique.
Right. Because in Love Types, the book I write, and those guy types, we talk about discovering your personality style. For example, the meaning seeker may love psychology, philosophy, and spirituality. So we recommend they join groups online or offline where they can interact with people and perhaps meet a soulmate that resonates with that style, or a security seeker or knowledge seeker. So basically, based on their type, they can actually develop who they are and also attract people that fit within that their desires. Do you also talk about that aspect?
Well, I think you're correct that a lot of women, if they're really active, they want active men and vice versa. I think that the activities you do can be important. I don't think it's the only thing that connects you with love. I think it's the heart connection that connects you ultimately, but it's a good start. But it's also a warning of a lot of people take an activity that they love and they'll say to me, I have to have a man who will bicycle ride with me every weekend. And I call that a perceived high value quality, because what happens is they meet a man that bicycle rides, and what they start doing is trying to fit the square peg into the round hole. And they try and make it so this guy is the one. And they start ignoring red flags that come up because this perceived high value quality has made them think this is the perfect guy. Does that make sense?
When you say perceived high value, you're saying this is very important to them? This is like something that they've a deal breaker for them? If they don't have it, they're not happy?
Yes. But so because they have it, because the man might have it, they start thinking he is the one. Without looking at the whole package that comes behind him.
So they're a Lance Armstrong kind of guy, but they cheat on their taxes and they're mean to their dog. Mm-hmm. Then that's not going to work out, right?
Right.
I get it. Now, the other thing is you also have a cool term here. You say how to be crazy confident, release your inner vixen. And so how about confidence? So again, a woman's older now. Maybe she has issues about her appearance, maybe her age, whatever it might be. How does she develop that crazy confidence where she can walk into the room and shine and attract men?
Well, when I work with clients, I really help them get in touch with what they love about themselves or what they're grateful for and what it is they're interested in and what they love about their personalities and what they're most passionate about. And then when we create this together and I read it back to them, and what they will say to me is, oh my God, that sounds like a really interesting person. Women forget how amazing they are because for a long time, no one complimented them or gave them, you know, positive comments over the years. And they have to relearn to find that from within themselves, whatever it is that makes them glow. And the other thing is that I help them understand is that men do not look at their parts and pieces like women look at their own parts and pieces. Men will look at the whole woman as she is, and he either likes it or doesn't like it. He doesn't go in and go, she has wrinkles here and she has cellulite there, but women do that to themselves.
Interesting. So you have them write it down on a piece of paper or on their laptop? Do you have them print it out and look at these traits?
I do. Yeah. I have them write it out, but I also write it too.
Yes.
And then I read it back to them. And I read it in a really great way that makes them not realize I'm going to read it to them. So they're always surprised. And I always hear this like giggling once they realize I'm talking about them.
Ah, okay. That's pretty cool.
Oftentimes women burst into tears because it is such a powerful exercise and it helps them open their hearts to themselves again.
Interesting. Okay. So you really are a lot better than you think when you read about yourself in a third party way.
Yes. I see. You are. Yes.
Now the other thing is you take the fear out of meeting men, but you also say that men are afraid of women too. So men and women are afraid of each other in some ways. Why is that?
I think everybody's afraid of rejection. That's the biggest thing.
Yes.
What you see in Hollywood is not what happens in real life.
Oh.
Women need to let men know they're interested, because men are just as afraid to come up to a woman as a woman is to go up to a man.
Yes.
It's the rejection.
That they're attracted to. Someone they're attracted to, it's fear. So how do you take the fear out of the woman to meet the man? Well, what do you teach her?
For women?
Yes.
So I teach them if they want to meet a man, to go up and ask a question. It's always a great icebreaker.
Mm.
But one of the things they have to do is they put a lot of value on a man because maybe he's really cute and that's why they think they're attracted to them.
Okay.
And what they end up doing is the woman tries to prove herself to the man versus she needs to step back a little bit and let him prove he's worthy of her. Just because he's cute does not mean that he's the right person for her.
Right. So Lisa, let's say we're at a party and we see a very charming male, maybe over 50. So what question can she ask him? Did you say, where did you get your bow tie? Or what would be the question that you ask?
Yeah, you can ask a question like that. You can also say, that's an easy way to do it with something they have on. If they're drinking something, you can say, hey, let's say they're drinking red wine. You can say, I love red wine. I'm always trying new wines. What are you drinking? What do you suggest?
I see.
Because Matt loved to help women.
Oh, okay. I would say mojitos for me because I like mojitos, but
I like dirty martinis.
We're compatible, I guess, sometimes. So, so maybe a fun, loving kind of a question you can ask. Do you believe in ladies flirting with men? I mean, can they be forward and make a little compliment, or is that too much?
I think women, both men and women love compliments. I think it doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere. The biggest thing is you have to detach.
Yes.
Anywhere you are going up to a man,
right,
you have to detach from where it's going to go or not
right.
go.
Ah.
Because that is a setup for failure. You're just going up. I always tell my clients, you just want to go into this about meeting someone new and interesting. Because most people put the pressure on themselves to figure out if someone is the one in the first, either in a profile or within 5 minutes of having a cup of coffee, and it's impossible to do. Mm. So when you're going into a meet and greet, it's just meet someone new and interesting. Just get to know someone. That's the way it all begins.
But what if some of the women that are over 50 may be raised in a generation where they weren't as forward as maybe they are today? So how do you get them into actually, approaching a man and actually making the first move? Is that something that's difficult, or do you have a strategy for that?
Well, what I've really found is men actually need to make the first move because men will say, I have asked so many men, have women written, would you be okay if a woman wrote you? Would you like that? And they go, yes. And I've said, have they written you? And they go, yes. And I'll say, how many did you actually go out with? Well, none. Because men like to be the pursuer. So you have to signal them. If you're in real life, smile at them. Tip your head and, turn away from them and then turn back. Or, go up and start conversation like we mentioned before. Online, the best thing you can do is to favor a man and at least let them know you're interested.
Okay. Now, the other thing you talk about, Lisa, are limiting beliefs. So I'm going to read you some limiting beliefs, and I want you to tell me, how do you counteract that in a woman's mind? For example, number one, all the good ones are taken. They're married or whatever, not available. What do you say to them about that?
Huge limiting beliefs. So I often use the work of Byron Katie there. And I'll say, is it true?
Four questions.
It's the four questions, right. Is it true? And then we go through those questions and we end up with a turnaround statement, which really helps them see the cost of having that limiting belief they're holding on to what it's actually costing them physically, mentally, and spiritually, because it keeps you from getting what you want. And when we, by the time we get to the turnaround statement, they're realizing, oh my God, I've really been hurting myself all this time.
She says, I live in Podunk, Iowa. There are 33 males and they're all married and they're three cows. What do I do?
So I did have something like that happen. Yes. I had a woman in Iowa tell me.
Oh, okay. I was right about that.
Something similar to that. And okay. I said to her, well, what she said is there's no good men, or there's no more single men in Iowa.
Yeah.
And she didn't go into marriage. She said, there's no men in Iowa. And I said, wait a minute. How many people are in your town? And she told me. And I said, have you met them all? Ah. And she started laughing because she said, no. And after I helped her get a super clear vision of the man she wanted, not always waiting to be picked, she ended up meeting some really nice men. And she said, there were really good men here. I just couldn't see them.
But would you recommend a woman moving? You know, remember the old day, they used to have a woman moving to Alaska. They had this big Alaskan dating service for a lot of guys in Alaska. You think that's too far-fetched? Or would you recommend changing their environment to find a man?
I really am not a great recommender of going long distance. I think you need to stay within your general area, or within like an hour car ride that's split, 2 hours where you can meet halfway, or a hour plane ride. And the reason for that is I've had clients before working with them, they did move with a guy that they were living with. It leaves you stuck in an environment you don't know. And you really, you are so out of your comfort zone. When you're over 50, you also, it's a lot harder to reestablish those foundational friends like you would have where you were before.
Right.
And so I'm not a big proponent of that, to just move to meet a guy. If you meet a guy and you want to move, okay. But just to go meet him, no.
So, Lisa, I'm curious, what area are you in right now?
What area am I in?
Yes.
Did you say in the Midwest?
Oh, Midwest. Okay. So Midwest, I guess, it could be smaller towns out there too. So if people don't have the opportunities, they might need to go somewhere else, right, to meet someone.
They may need to go. Many of my clients live in small towns, actually, but they'll be like an hour outside of a larger city.
I see.
That's okay.
I see. Now, another, answer me this one. Okay, she says to you, his money is what matters. And this guy I like doesn't have much money. What do I do?
That is, again, a perceived high-value quality. You can have a guy with a lot of money, but you could be the loneliest woman in that relationship because his mistress is work.
Yes.
So are you talking about what to do in terms of a limiting belief?
Yeah, let's say a woman comes to you with that belief and she says, I really need a guy that has money, but the guy I like has no money. What do I do?
Well, first of all, there are all kinds of scenarios with that. If you're financially fine and you don't need money from him and he's financially stable, at least for himself, you don't want a guy that's going to rely on you. I mean, that is like just you're being a sugar mama, or the other way, a sugar daddy. That is not, that is not good. But you have to have a guy that's been successful, you have to feel worthy of having someone that is successful. And that's why a lot of women date men that have not been successful in their lives, because they don't necessarily feel worthy of having that. Either they have a lot of money, and so they don't feel it's fair to take away all this money again, or they just feel that they don't deserve it to have another person with a lot of money in their life.
Interesting.
So you have to look at the underlying factors for what's going on.
Yes, because a lot of what you're saying is the idea, I don't deserve it, I'm not worthy of this kind of love. So you said that's kind of a theme that's running through some women's minds when they hit a certain age. And
I think it runs through women's minds anyway. We just don't necessarily value ourselves no matter what age we're at. We don't feel enough, which goes back to media and how media portrays women. And it's a lot of pressure on women. And then women can feel great leaving the house. And then they can go into a party and they see what someone else has on. And they can suddenly feel awful. It is just tremendous pressure, all ages, for women. This is just not women over 50.
Yes. Now, another woman comes to you and she says, Lisa, I will be hurt again. I can't do this anymore. I've been divorced 3 times and, they took all my money and they cheated on me. What's your response to that kind of woman?
Well, that is an area where we have to dive into their baggage and where, you know, what happened, and we have to start to heal that baggage. I have to help her come into her own value again and to teach her how to feel empowered and to honor herself and feel empowered in the dating world, which is most women don't. They sort of let men choose them. They're afraid to talk to men, whatever it is. But with a client like that, I'd really have to work with them on their baggage. They should not be dating if they feel that way until they have healed those wounds.
Right, because you talk about forgiveness and men who hurt you. And you talk about a couple of things. You say one bad man doesn't equal all bad men. Mm-hmm. And then you say something about there's some Hawaiian kind of phrase that you use to...
Ho'opo'ono.
Yeah, when I read that, so how do you say that again?
Ho'opo'ono.
Ho'opo'ono. So what is that? Is that like a new dish in Hawaiian or something? Or...
No.
Like pork luau or something.
Ho'opo'ono is forgiveness work. And there is a belief that the forgiveness starts with ourselves.
Yes.
In fact, usually like the example you gave before of the woman that got taken by the guy.
Yes.
It starts within herself, forgiving herself first. She may displace the anger on him, and he was wrong. Mm-hmm. But who we're really angry with to begin with is ourselves.
Yes.
Forgiving it all away, our power. But we displace it because we don't want to see that. Ho'opo'ono helps you with the forgiveness of that. It's a couple simple phrases. It's, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And it was created by a psychologist who went into either a mental institution or a prison that no one wanted to be in. He never even saw the people. Mm. He'd look at their pictures and begin to forgive himself. Mm. And the entire environment totally changed. It's a cool story worth looking up.
But so Lisa, so when you say, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me and thank you, are you saying it to yourself or to the men that hurt you?
To yourself. So what you do is you identify, the way I do it with clients, is if they have anger, I have them, or any emotion that they have, I have them identify the emotion. So if it's anger, I have them go inside themselves and feel the anger within themselves that they're feeling at themselves. And then they start the Ho'opo'ono phrases. I have them repeat it after me. And when they've done it quite a few times, something starts to release in them and they start to feel better because they're starting to forgive themselves.
Okay.
And that is where it all starts.
I see. So when I say I love you, I mean I love myself, is what you're saying.
You're saying it to yourself.
To myself.
You're
okay. And then I say I'm sorry for myself, for my mistakes and choosing the wrong men.
It's about a specific emotion. That's how I do it with women. So if they're angry with themselves, you tell yourself, I'm sorry. I love you because we need to hear we're loved. I forgive you. You're telling yourself, I forgive you for the mistake you made.
Right.
You make. And thank you. You know, just thank you is gratitude.
Yes.
Acknowledgement, you know, all that. So, and then you do it quite a few times, not just one time.
Mm. Yeah, I like that because I wrote a book called The Three Secrets of Happiness. It's a modern fable of a psychiatrist actually looking for self-development. And he meets a master that teaches him the three secrets, which is optimism, forgiveness, and gratitude. Mm-hmm. So I think you're kind of covering all three things here. You're covering forgiveness, mm-hmm. self-forgiveness, which is often the hardest.
Yeah.
You're doing gratitude. And I think optimism has to do with, I love you. Like, I believe I will do better in the future. Yeah, the good will come eventually. That's really nice. Now, one thing here, Lisa, and you have some very good material. I saw some of the things you've written about this, is you have something called the attraction factor. How to make men hungry for more. So how do we make men hungry for more? Well, not just food, but, you know, hopefully love, right?
Well, the attraction factor goes back to how you feel about yourself. And it's creating that inner glow within you because men are really attracted to confident, passionate women. Think about anyone you know that's confident or passionate. You want to be part of their circle because you want some of that to rub off on you. And also then a man, a man feels that we all have this, not just men though, that he's getting something of value. When you feel good about yourself, you're going to draw towards you a man who feels good about himself and vice versa. Mm. Whereas if you're crappy about yourself, you are going to attract men that are going to mirror that to you, the crappy way you feel.
Right. But Lisa, there's a little contradiction here, a little paradox. Maybe you can help me. So you say confidence is attractive, but you also say too much confidence can be a turnoff And that one of the most beautiful phrases for a man is, can you help me, for a female to say to him. Why is that? Why is vulnerability attractive to men?
So men are really wired to fix for women. I mean, if women, when I say the women, how many times have you wanted to just tell a story to a man and he started fixing? And they go, oh, yeah. That is because men want to help us. The thing is, it's not, it's confidence in themselves. And there's a difference between confidence and independence. And it's great to be independent. I mean, fantastic. But you have to let a man and be able to help you. And so many women have a hard time with that because we were taught that we should be so strong that we should never need a man. Because for many, they haven't had one for a long time.
So should a woman take the A out of alpha? Or can she still be an alpha and find a good man?
Well, she could be an alpha. All she has to do is learn how to let a man be a man and let him be able to help her. She doesn't have to do it all alone. Actually, most alpha clients will say to me, I do not want to be an alpha in the relationship anymore. It's hard for them to shift sometimes. But they say, I am tired of doing it all because they have attracted beta males who expected them to be the main person to figure it all out. They don't want to do that anymore. They're tired of it.
Right. So can you help me open the door or carry something? That could be a nice thing you're saying.
And men love that because men really do want to make you happy.
Definitely.
I had a guy, I asked him to take a picture of me and some friends at a conference. I said, you know, can you help us? We need our picture or whatever. He said, I love when women ask me to help them. Exactly. They really do. They don't want to be criticized how they do it, but they do want, they would love to help you. And then they like it when women appreciate them.
Lisa, you understand the male mind. You must have a lot of brothers or something.
I have no brothers. I have a sister. But I emasculated a ton of men in my lifetime. And that is how what got me to learn how to
do that. So you learned the opposite. You learned the reverse lesson, how not to do it. And now you know how to do it.
That's crazy. That's really good. That's why I love to teach.
That's awesome. Now, the other thing you talk about is the learn the male 50-plus language. Now, how does a 50-plus male have a different language than younger males?
I think they have the same language, and that is that I need your help. Could you do me a favor? That is like an innate thing in men.
How do the older male differ from the younger male? Is there something that appeals to them more in terms of communication style? Are they more mature? Are they more serious, not serious? What do you think about
that? I think the communication, the way men hear it, whatever age they are, is the same. It has to not come across as an order. Whereas women will say to a man, can you please help me move this table, for example? And as a woman, we would go, of course, because women are community oriented.
Sure.
A man, no matter what age they are, hears that, hears his mother. But I think all men hear that. All men have emotionally healthy men want to help women and want to make them happy. And they all hear when you say, I need your help, or could you please
help me? So you're saying, Lisa, that it's not the age, it's the maturity level. You could have maybe an older man that's not very mature, or maybe a younger man is mature, or vice versa for females. Is that kind of where you're looking at, the personality
style? I think
it's how
emotionally healthy they are. If they have, you know, everybody comes with their issues. And if they're emotionally unavailable, many men are narcissistic, arrogant men. They do not necessarily. It's not about their partner, it's all about them. It is based on really an emotionally healthy man.
I see. So you can't really generalize and say that 50 plus women want companionship but not love, or they want sex but not companionship. Is there any like rules of thumb, or you think it depends on the woman who's 50 plus?
It depends on the women. Some just want sex. Some just like a man. Some just want love. Some do not want to ever marry again, and some do. It is so dependent on where a woman is. A lot of it really has to do with the baggage, and I help women heal that baggage so that they really can be open to all the possibilities and choices that they have.
I see. So let's say, Lisa, we successfully completed your course, and now we're going on a date, our first date.
Uh-huh.
And I know you have some tips here for dates. You say how to avoid first date mistakes. And one of them is actually talking about your ex, but tell me more about that. What are the mistakes that you want to avoid on the first dates?
Do you want to hear about talking about your ex, what that's like?
I hope not.
Well, no, I mean, when you talk about your ex,
right.
What happens is there's actually three sitting at the table.
Ah.
And also, you know, when you go back to men wanting to help you, when you're complaining about that man, the old man, the ex, the new man who doesn't know you cannot possibly help you, which puts him in the position of feeling a little helpless. Or less than in your eyes, and no man wants to feel less than in your eyes.
Well, what's another dating mistake that over 50 women make, as far as you know? Do they try to push too quickly for like a relationship, or are they avoiding relationships?
For a date or for a love?
Well, yeah, in the first few dates or whatever it is, what's a mistake the ladies make?
I think either sex makes the mistake of over-talking and not asking questions. And then you have a monologue versus a dialogue, and it's very boring. The other mistake either sex makes is being on your phone during a date.
Yes.
Put the phone away. Nobody likes to compete with a phone.
Really? Okay.
Actually, I had a man tell me one time that he left his date in the middle of the date.
Oh.
She would not put the phone down. He got up. He did pay the bill,
okay.
And he left.
Well, maybe he texted her like in the middle of the date or something. Hey, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, she probably would have had more attention from her.
She would have answered the text, at least, if not talking to him in person. Now, Lisa, the other thing is, this goes back to the alpha female. What if she says, hey, I'm going to take care of this date by paying for it? Should that happen? I mean, who should pay for the date in your mindset?
I think when a man asks you out, at least for the first three dates, let him pay. And then you can say, hey, can I make you dinner? Can I, I'd love to pay for the movie tickets.
Okay.
But when they're asking you out, most men do expect to be the one paying. I know it goes back to all the things we grew up with about equality. And we don't know what to do. But do you want to know what real equality is?
What's that?
The real equality between men and women is women bring the heart, the emotional intelligence. Men bring the mind. Not that the opposite sex doesn't have either. They do.
Right.
But their strengths. The woman is the vulnerable heart that a man feels safe around, and the man is the head that makes a woman feel safe, protected, and provided for.
Yeah, in the personality type, love types book I wrote, they say 2/3 of males are thinkers and 2/3 of females are feelers. But, you do have the opposite. You have about 1/3 of males that are emotional and sensitive, and 1/3 of women are thinkers. So there's a little bit of that opposite. But I really like what you're talking about, Lisa. It's very interesting because you're kind of applying this to 50 plus, but actually a lot of stuff seems to apply to all age ranges because you're kind of putting a lot of different tips out here that deal with men and women in general, kind of like psychologically, how they can have better relationships. And basically, I like the idea that worthiness is a key. Am I worthy of love? And you're saying that women have this question no matter how old they are, and maybe men too, to a certain extent. And I think that's part of your work, right? How to get people to believe that they deserve, having a loving relationship and be happy in love. And I guess we don't learn that in school, right? We learn about mathematics and science and all this stuff, and we get our college degree. But then where do we learn about how to be worthy of love? Is there any classes like that out there at the university level?
Well, I have no idea if there's classes. When I coach women, this is the biggest thing. This is the place we start, is your value, knowing your value. Because that is how you can attract a higher quality person and the right person versus settling because you just to have someone in your life.
And unfortunately, if they come from either abusive or emotionally distant family background, maybe as children, they didn't find the love, they felt criticized. I mean, that seems like a whole process. What can we do in that situation where someone comes from a cold family and they don't feel loved or, their self-esteem is low? Should we blame the parents? You're 50 years old now, or what should we do now?
Well, it does go back to family of origin, the people we attract. We often think, I found the greatest love. I have the best chemistry with them. And when I've had clients dive down into why it didn't work, they will often find that one parent or both parents have the exact trait the man had. It's because we're trying to really heal ourselves.
Right.
We do it with partners and our chemistry. We feel like we've known the person forever. We have, just in a different, we grew up with it.
Right. Hendrix talks about imago therapy, that we pick partners that are similar to our parents. You kind of like to fill an image that we have unconsciously.
Yes.
So you teach women how to get out of that image, how to break that mold?
Yes, all the time. And I do it with helping them get a clear vision of the right man for them by recognizing what the patterns are of the men they've been attracted to in the past. And it's always very revealing for them. Once they start seeing it, they go, oh my God. And it's work I did on myself first. And it was like so powerful to hear, to realize, oh, I kept attracting abandoned men because my mother nearly died when I was 9. So I was trying to heal that.
Listen, I like that. You know, you really come from a very personal experience. You seem very passionate about what you're doing. You have kind of a positive energy, I can tell.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you being on the show. And it's been a lot of great content. Where can listeners hear more about you, your website, and those kind of things?
Oh, well, thank you for asking that. My website is called findaqualityman.com. And again, that's findaqualityman.com. And I have a little ebook on there called The 5 Little Known Secrets for Finding Quality Men.
Is that a gift you're going to give us, Lisa?
It's a gift.
Gift, yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
It'll help you know where really good guys are hanging out, because one of the biggest questions women ask me is, where do the good guys hang out? And this little ebook's going to really help you with that. And again, it's on findaqualityman.com.
Beautiful. Thanks for that. So everyone listening today will get a free gift courtesy of Lisa. We really appreciate that. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Lisa. We definitely would want to have you back at some point. And maybe if you ever got to LA, we can do a conference or do something together in the future.
I would love to. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So this has been Love University. If you have any questions about today's show or if you would like to be a guest on the show, please call us at 310-226-8090. Email us at lovetype4u@AOL. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. Our website, as always, is loveuniversity.love. So again, this is Dr. Alex Avila, Love University. Put away your books and pencils and iPads and computers. And class is now dismissed. Until next time, Love University.